America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside the 8 o'clock hour, let's hear Cashman.
Yeah, sure he did. So there's a lot of high-quality players in this marketplace, and certainly Pete did an amazing job with the Mets. And so had a brief conversation with Scott about a lot of his – he has a lot of free agents, which is normal, and Pete's one of them. So, yes.
Pete Alonso to the Yankees? I'm good on that. No thanks. Not at all. Miss me with that. But I think this is part of the games that are played. You know, during the GM meetings, the lukewarm stove, a Boris client, you know, his name comes up, sure. Yankees have a hole at first base, as we've mentioned Christian Walker tonight. And Brian Cashman's going to say, yeah, his name came up. Why not? He's already in New York. I don't think they're really looking at Pete Alonso, but maybe. What do I know? Maybe that's part of the fallback plan. Zoo, see if we can get Cashman talking about in the event that they miss out on Juan Soto. Of course, there's always a plan B. There's always a plan B. They've been doing this for a long time. Cashman's been doing this for a long time. But I am telling you that like their plan A1, is to land Juan Soto, get Juan Soto back. They understand what he means to the fans. They understand what he means to revenue. They understand what he's going to mean to this team with guys that are 10 years older than him. You know what I'm saying? Like, to help carry those guys. I think his defense can improve in right field. With the short porch, I think the more he plays there, the better. The more experience he gets there, the better. Judge in center, or Judge in left, or even Judge in first base, whatever. We don't got to worry about that. Juan Soto is a dog. And not to call Judge a puppy dog, but he did shrink and not look like a dog at all in the postseason. So when you see a guy like Juan Soto, you know, going up against Hunter Gaddis and just turn that dog mode on where it's like, I'm going to bite your head off. If you give me the opportunity, I'm going to call game. You don't let those guys just go. You don't let those guys just walk away. You fight to try to keep those guys. You pay to keep those guys, because there's going to be moments like that that arise again where a guy like Judge shrinks in the moment. A guy like Juan Soto rises to the moment. A guy like Stanton rises to the moment. They need to continue to identify guys that rise in the moment. Those are the guys that are worth every penny. 888-808-1019. Mike is out in White Plains on the Fan. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, buddy? You make some very compelling Yankee points. You know, considering you must be feeling really good after being thoroughly embarrassed in the World Series. And
well, yeah, I feel great. Series. I didn't play. I don't get to take any swings. I don't get to throw the baseball. I did pretty decent. You know,
and with all the rings that Hal Steinbrenner has, but you're one.
Yeah, we're not talking about 1986. We're not talking about 2000. We're not talking about 2015. We're not talking about getting smoked 8-0. The same team that beat the Yankees beat the Mets. But go on.
Yeah, Hank Steinbrenner done a lot of winning. So you're one.
Rest in peace, Hank Steinbrenner. But go on.
What your Juan Soto argument? He's going to chase money. When you talk about Yankee legacy, do you think this guy is sitting in bed thinking about what? Mickey Mantle? Derek Jeter?
No, he's thinking about his own legacy.
He's going to chase the money, and Steve Cohen is going to pay him the most money.
That's what you in your bed in White Plains lay up thinking about. Oh, we've got the richest owner in the sport. Thanks for the call. Oh, he's going to pay him. You've been duped like that the last few years. You couldn't even keep DeGrom. You end up getting Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. He had to take them back to the store and return them for store credit. Please. Juan Soto is thinking about being in Monument Park. Being that Dominican-born player with 22 retired, winning World Series with the Yankees, having that parade. You're crazy if you think that that guy's not thinking about that. He has been coached by Scott Boras since he was a teenager. Hey, listen, after that last out, turn it on. We got to play this right, Juan. You want to get the most money, right? You guys crack me up acting like Hal, not Hank, rest in peace to Hank again. You act like Hal Steinbrenner doesn't have the money. There is no amount of money that this right fielder can make that Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman can't afford. What are we talking about, bro? So like the same way you think it's a fairy tale with Yankee legacy, but it's not. When Juan Soto just lived it. From spring training through the whole Yankee season, the postseason, being with Yankee legends, old timers day. Like you think that it's not a thing. You think that his family didn't enjoy being a Yankee in New York? They did. So if you want to reduce it and just say he's a money guy, which yes, he showed us he's a money guy. The Yankees have money. And I think if the Yankees are close enough, the difference between being a Yankee and a Met is bigger than a couple million. I think the Yankees are going to come to play. I think the Mets are going to come to play. And I don't think Juan Soto is going to flush the year that he just had and the rest of the career that he could potentially have just for top dollar. I think that's an actual thing. I could be dead wrong. But there's too many signs and too many things pointing to the Yankees are going to pursue him. This is not a battle that they're going to be willing to lose because you know what? They have pride in their own city. So you Met fans can talk about embarrassment and humiliation. We were in the World Series. You could talk about that. Like the fans, we didn't play. We showed up though. We were on national television in Billy's, a party that I started. We were out there in the streets of Yankee Stadium on every news outlet. We didn't play. So yes, we're wearing the embarrassment. Yes, we still feel it. But you didn't get to feel that World Series. You felt sadness and you came up short because Ohtani and the rest of these guys from the Dodgers ended your magical run, and it's just another failed year. That just stacks up with the rest of the failed years that you didn't make the World Series. Like, if you want to actually talk about it, it's similar to the years before. At least we can say we won something. You didn't win the division. You didn't win the league. The Yankees won the American League East. They were the number one seed, and they won the pennant. They embarrassed themselves, fell flat on their face. They were up 5-0 in Game 5, should have forced a Game 6. In a minute, we're going to cue up Dave Roberts talking about how he felt in New York. Someone that came back from being down 3-0 to win 4 in a row as a player. What he felt as a manager now, potentially going back to L.A. Let's take another call before we do that. Joe is in Chatham, New Jersey. Joe, you're on the Fan.
Thanks, Keith. Your breakdowns are so good. It's a pleasure to listen to you. But I called to ask you this. I've been a Yankee fan since 1979, and I really thought this year some of Soto's sort of assassin mentality was going to rub off on Judge. But now with him going 6 out of 7 postseasons being a big disappointment, I find myself, I'm just not that amped up or really interested in the offseason.
Understood.
Because I feel like we're going to get the – so how do we navigate that? You know, like what'll it take?
So
for Judge to have a normal, not even a great offseason, just a normal offseason.
That's for Judge to navigate. That's for Judge to be a $40 million. He's going to win the MVP trophy. That's for him to navigate this offseason. And I hope he gets away and he has the birth of his first child and his family. They enjoy some time away. And then he comes back and locks in and he's motivated. Because from what I hear, the way that he locks in, prepares, and approaches every day, it's a different level. That's what makes him so great. So maybe this is
but
the breaking point.
He pressures himself too much. Pressures himself
but Joe,
too much.
He just got to the final level, the World Series.
Yeah.
You can't get any higher. There's no more games to play. So he failed in the World Series. What else do you have pressure-wise to put on yourself? Like, what else is there to do, Judge? Like,
fair.
You just failed in front of everybody. And you know what sucks the most? He started to come out of it, and we all saw it.
Yep.
Joe Davis, I'm in there. I didn't even hear it on the TV. I went and watched it after. Joe Davis said they've awakened a sleeping giant when Judge hit that homer in Game 5. He was coming out
because
of it.
Because they can't build a team. Cashman can't build a team that's good enough to win a World Series if his number one player doesn't show up. I mean, he can build good teams.
Absolutely.
But not
the whole way. I was saying in the DS when he was struggling against the Royals, I said there is no plan to overcome the MVP struggling. There's no plan for the Yankees to win without their number three hitter, their center fielder, their $40 million player and captain. There's no plan to win without him. That's not the plan. It's not. So he has to come through, and I think he will, Joe. Thanks for the call, and I understand. Trust me, I overstand. That's on Judge to figure out what his legacy will be. Us as fans, we can't tuck our tails. I think one of the last things I said after we lost the World Series, I'm not going anywhere. I feel terrible about it. I'm holding them accountable. But I'm not changing up. I'm not switching up. I'll be there in spring training. I'll be there opening day. Like, that's what you do as a fan going into October, I said this can be absolutely devastating or this can be glorious, euphoric. You could be elated by what you see. And there were times of both. And obviously it ended in complete devastation. I will never sit in the seats that I sat in, the section that I sat in Yankee Stadium watching that fifth inning collapse. I felt a chill come over my body. I knew they were folding. And I'm like, no, not now. Not now. This team cannot do this right now. And they did. Let's play what Dave Roberts had to say. Talking to Mookie Betts on Bleacher Report, they have a podcast called On Base that Mookie Betts does. And Dave Roberts admitted a couple things. Let's play that cut from Dave Roberts talking to Mookie Betts after winning the World Series.
You're down 3-0. You're at the point where you have nothing to lose now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who was favored, who wasn't. When you're down 3-0, everyone is expecting you to lose anyway. So now, that, for me, it's freeing. And so they played free, one game four. And I will tell you this now publicly, I was so afraid to come back to Los Angeles for game six, knowing we still had Yamamoto in our back pocket. But the point being is that if we were to come back, the noise, the pressure becomes real.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're going to start potentially being part of history in the wrong way, mm-hmm. a team that gave up a 3-0, because it's never been done in the World Series. We did it in the ALCS, the Yankees versus the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that was the fear of going back. So to your point, yes, I managed with urgency. Even when we were down 5-0, I didn't know how we were going to finish this dang game.
Yeah, it's funny that the manager's tone is way different than Joe Kelly's tone, who didn't play, didn't impact the game at all, didn't make any decisions. We'll get to Joe Kelly in a minute. But yeah, the Dodgers were afraid. Their manager was afraid of a game six from his own history, knowing, hey, the noise is going to be loud. People's thoughts become things. The Yankees had it. They lifted us all the way up in the air just to drop us on our heads. And I remember hearing, I think one of the reporters said there was a sign in the clubhouse that said, win today, fly tomorrow. And I think those guys went up 5-0 and they were halfway through the game thinking about sitting on that plane, thinking about going back to Cali. It never happened. It never happened. Dodgers in five. Let's go to T-Neck and talk to SJ on the fan next. Go for it. You're on.
Hey, Keith. Big fan of your stuff. Been listening for a while. Love what you do.
Thank you.
I'm a big Mets fan. Yeah, of course, man. I'm a big Mets fan, so I know you're going to disagree with me on this. But I just want to make the argument boldly, I suppose, that the Mets had a better year than the Yankees this year. I was at game four of the NLDS to see Lindor's grand slam. I was at game five of the World Series to see the Dodgers win it all. I think the Mets actually had a better year than the Yankees. The Mets swept the season series against the Yankees 4-0. The Mets took the Dodgers to six games, whereas the Yankees not only lost in five, but collapsed in the most historic World Series collapse of all time. So I know you guys had a better record. You were better by five games. You made it to the World Series. We didn't. But I'm going to argue the Mets had a better year. Love to know your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks for the call. You're a Mets fan, SJ. So, like, you should view it that way. It's subjective. Like, you're seeing your team fail, but your fail wasn't as high of a fail as the Yankees' fail. So which one would you rather have? Would you have rather gotten to the World Series? Wouldn't you have rather that be you defeating the Yankees? Oh, hold on now. I got to preach to him. Wouldn't you have rather defeated the Dodgers and had the Subway Series so that you could smack the Yankees, maybe sweep the Yankees in the postseason, not the regular season, where it matters? I don't know how many times I have to tell y'all that the regular season doesn't matter. The Yankees had Jamai Jones and J.D. Davis in the lineup. Just get over that. What are we talking about, bro? You wouldn't have rather have been the team to win the National League? You're not a poverty franchise. This is New York. You have the highest payroll. Oh, they had a better season. Yeah, you're acting like it's a charity case. Wouldn't you have rather gone to the World Series, the Subway Series, and beat the Yankees? No, you're cool with your, oh, my games. Oh, my God, no more games. It's just like, it's a joke. How much we're talking about that. The Yankees won the division. The Yankees won the American League. The Yankees were the one seed. They got to the Fall Classic. They were one of two teams left standing. There's a graphic that everybody is throwing up about how close the games were. I don't really lean into that graphic because there was a bullpen game and the Yankees blew a game or whatever. But, like, to say that the Mets had a better season than the Yankees, that's the most participation trophy stuff I can, like, think of. What are we talking about, bro? What did you win? You can't even, there's no pin for anything. There's no merch for anything that you did. You beat the Phillies? The Phillies can say that they went to the World Series. Like, what are we talking about? We live in a bizarro land. Well, I'm a Mets fan, but I'm going to tell you that since you failed in the World Series, we had a better season than you. What are you talking about? Because you had a hit record by Candelita? Because there was a purple mascot who got a seat in your ballpark? All that stuff is gimmicks, bro. None of that has to do with the games. None of that has to do with the numbers. None of that has to do with the actual history. Well, I guess the OMG sign is going into the Hall of Fame. Like, if that's cool for you, that's why I say that's for kids. That made kids want to watch baseball. If you're a grown man, you shouldn't care about how many hot dogs were ate at the ballpark. If you're a grown man, you shouldn't have cared about a rally pimp. If you're a grown man, you're looking at Francisco Lindor saying, wow, this guy matured. This guy has become an icon in New York. You're looking at your first-year manager saying, wow, they made the right pick. We wanted Craig Counsell. You're looking at your president of baseball operations saying, we're in good hands. This is the start of something. No more LOL Mets. We don't want to be a laughing stock. Put the target on us. Because you know what? Brandon Nimmo went through this year. And Pete Alonso will be back. And Mark Vientos became this year. Sean Manaea should be back. Luis Severino should be back. We found some things this year. We made our fans happy this year. Instead, you guys want to point to all these. We swept the Yankees. In the regular season, when the Yankees, like, come on, bro. Go look at those lineups and who the Yankees put out there. Here we are, November 5th. I'm taking calls on the fan talking about we swept the Yankees in the regular season, a World Series team. I got to go to break. Give me a break. 888-808-1019. Having fun here, myself and Zoo. Taking your calls, just trying to distract you from other things going on in the United States of America. Keith McPherson on the fan. KM to AM returns right after this.
Need to get out of a meeting? Call the fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
888-808-1019, powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS Live on Paramount Plus.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. A little Kendrick Lamar. little West Side vibe as we proceed to give you what you need here in New York City. Talking about the LA Dodgers, though. Talking about the season that was. The LA Dodgers came through and beat the Yankees. They beat the Mets. It is what it is. We met our defeat at the hands of Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts. And, you know, Shohei, it came out that Shohei just had a repair on his labrum. Let me go get that information so I don't say it verbatim. But I'm like, man, the thing about that, too, I remember saying after game two, I'm like, Shohei is hurt. Freddie Freeman has to cool off. The series doesn't start until you lose a game at home. These games have been close. They blew it in extra innings. Like, you won't get over the fact that, like, the quote-unquote best player in baseball, which you got to give him that over Judge now, the darling of MLB, the apple of their eye. I don't know how many times they posted about him and his dog throughout the season. And I look at that as like, decoy? Why do you name your dog decoy? What are you hiding? Anyway, we know what he's hiding. Shohei Ohtani today underwent successful arthroscopic surgery performed in L.A. to repair a labrum tear that resulted in a left shoulder dislocation on October 26th. This guy dislocated his shoulder during the series. And Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Teoscar Hernandez, Kike, the rest of those guys, they dragged him across the finish line. Like, that is crazy. Like, you lost the World Series to a team that, like, they're arguably their best player, their highest paid player, was compromised. Like, that's when you got to smell blood in the water. The Yankees lack the killer instinct. I hope somehow they find it. And I think bringing Juan Soto back is part of finding it and keeping it. He has it. So let's play what Joe Kelly had to say. If you haven't heard this already, this is from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. Shout out to Rob Branford, who is on WEEI up in Boston. I was actually on this podcast November 17th, 2022. I know about this podcast. I know they are Red Sox fans. There's a heavy Red Sox lean. And that is why Joe Kelly gets this platform. I was wondering, like, why is Joe Kelly, who even is requesting to interview Joe Kelly? Well, Joe Kelly is going back to this podcast, which he's done plenty of times, being a former Boston Red Sox. And if you remember correctly, I think it was back in 2018 when Tyler Austin charged the mound and that whole little melee broke out. It was nothing really. But yeah, Joe Kelly clearly has an axe to grind still. He's just a Yankee hater. Understood. He can hate. He can say whatever he wants. Play it, Zoo.
You said you play the Yankees bait. So did you guys know, was that sort of the thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We were saying every single game, just let them throw the ball to infield. They can't make a play. I mean, you saw Shohei got an extra base going to third on sloppy Glaber play. It's well known. We all knew. I mean, we're the Dodgers. We know every little detail. But I mean, past that, it was a fun series. I mean, they almost snagged a couple wins. You know what I mean? But I mean, if it was like the NCAA, like basketball, baseball, hockey, or football. I mean, like it was just a mismatch from the get go. Like, we had a playoff re-ranking. Like, they might be ranked eighth or ninth best playoff team. You know what I mean? Like, you're putting the Padres ahead of them. You're putting the Phillies ahead of them. You're putting the Mets ahead of them. You're putting the Braves ahead of them, and the Braves just got unlucky because they had to play that doubleheader. You're putting, I mean, the Guardians played like crap, but the Guardians played better baseball around. Like, it was just a complete mismatch, and it's kind of the same feeling from 2018 when we had to go play the Dodgers. Like, the Red Sox were just the way better team. So all we knew is that we just had to play regular Dodger baseball. We didn't have to play out of our butts. We didn't have to do anything crazy, and we're going to win the World Series. It's facts. Like, just look at the team. Look at the talent.
Yeah.
Rank the teams, and they're ranked.
You can cut it. I've heard enough. Still drunk off the parade. You got it, Joe Kelly. You got it, bro. For the Met fans, right, you heard him. He said you'd rank the Mets above the Yankees, but you can't really do that. But in Joe Kelly's world. And then I even said the Braves got unlucky because they had to play the doubleheader against the Mets. Yeah, Brian Cashman spoke out and he said, in Joe's case, it feels like for some reason it's a little personal the way he's out talking like he has. They won. So I can just say, you know, what I said, which what he said was like, that we lost. That people can say whatever they want. And for me as a fan, the story of this being close, the story of the Yankees being up in game five, the story of Dave Roberts being shook for this to go six, like, all that evaporates because Joe Kelly can just tell everybody, we knew we were going to win. It was a mismatch. We knew they were going to play Yankee defense. They were going to kick the ball around. They couldn't make a play. And sure, whatever. Whatever. Let's go to Dio out on Long Island. Dio, you're on the Fan.
What's going on, man?
You know, holding it down. Yeah.
I definitely am all about re-signing Juan Soto. And I'm like, if we got to put Birdie out there at second to be able to afford Juan Soto and Teoscar, let's do it.
Oswaldo Cabrera, Oswald Peraza, Caleb Durbin. You can't pay everybody, but you pay a dog like that. You pay a Stone Cold killer like that. You pay a proven postseason player that already won a World Series. You pay a guy like that. Still there?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got to do a little better, folks. Next up is Moose out in Jamaica.
He was just enamored, bro. You know?
I try to have the conversation and, you know, Moose, it's your turn. You're live.
Yeah. What is it?
You know, talking the talk.
I hear that. So for what it's worth, crazy idea out there. Kind of disappointed this happened, but glad for the man because he didn't have the best 2024. I would love to see, I've mentioned this to you before, I would love to see Cody Bellinger play first and center.
Isn't he already going back with the Cubs? I thought I already heard a rumor.
Trade for him.
No, they're not going to overextend. They're not giving up anything for Cody Bellinger, bro. He opted in. He's going to remain with the Cubs.
I guess
they had an opportunity 2 years ago to get Cody Bellinger.
It was actually last year. He was a free agent or whatever it was 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
So, but the thing about Soto is this man's no fool. This man is no fool. He knows he has a third of like all the contenders with money are going to be bidding for him, and he's gonna Oliver Twist it. Go to each team, please, sir. May I have some more? Currently, I have this offer on the table. I do not see necessarily whatever you know the Yankees being the highest bidder. Or so I think we just have to cut our losses as is with him. Maybe
nah. Moose, this is how I look at it. Right, the Philadelphia Phillies can push their chips into the middle. And Juan Soto's going to think about whether he wants to live in South Jersey or Pennsylvania and play in that division and play with Bryce Harper and those guys. And, okay, maybe. The Baltimore Orioles are going to push their chips in with their new ownership, their billionaires that they have now. Yeah, and he'll think about whether he wants to put on a Baltimore Orioles jersey. If the Yankees push their chips in and their stack of chips is close or the same, the Yankees have the leg up. It is really a two-man race. How do I know that? Because he understands business. Boris understands business. He just lived in New York. He just had the best year of his professional career outside of the World Series winning year. In New York, he just performed the best that he has, hitting in front of Judge. He just performed the best. He loved playing in Yankee Stadium in front of those fans and the pinstripes, all of that. I don't know how many different reggaeton artists I saw in Legends this year where I got cooked online because I'm like, I don't know any of these guys. People are like, oh, get some culture in your life. Why don't you listen to you know these songs? They got all these streams. I'm like, all I'm saying is all of these artists are coming to see Juan Soto in the Bronx. El Alpha made him a song where he talks about Yankee, Vente Dos. The Soto Shuffle song. Like, there is something to be said about the Yankee brand and what we don't know, right? When Gerrit Cole was courted by the Yankees, they gave him gifts and they got him this special wine that he was looking for. And we don't even know the type of secrets and tricks that they have up their sleeve to court these guys.
Keith, I just want to say one thing. Hypothetically speaking, the Yankees go, okay, Soto, we'll bend the knee. You'll get the 15 for $700 million. You'll get the 15 years, $700 million. You'll be retired in, however, when so many World Series with us, it's not funny. But at the same time, the Mets go, what, $700 million? Soto, 8 or 9. You choose.
It's not going to, thanks for the call, Moose. It's not going to get that high up. You guys got to stop with that. 700 is the ceiling. That is the ceiling. We, as much as you guys are talking about his defense, and as much as we've talked about short-term contracts, like you just heard David Stearns talking about the emphasis on short-term contracts, It takes someone to give him a 13-year. I think he's just turned 26. So a 13-year deal for him to pay play through age 39, for you to pay a 39-year-old. Like, they're not doing this anymore in baseball because of the mistakes that were made giving long contracts to guys. Like A-Rod, like Albert Pujols, name the guys, Josh Hamilton. Like, they're not doing this anymore. The market is not doing this anymore. Scott Boras does not have the stronghold that he used to have because baseball basically told him, nah. He struggled last year with the Boras 5. They all took short-term deals. They missed spring training. They were pissed off. Blake Snell, hurt. Jordan Montgomery, relegated to the bullpen. Oh, right here with the Mets. J.D. Martinez, took him a minute to get right. Matt Chapman, Cody Bellinger, all of those guys signed with Boras thinking that they were going to get 10-year deals and cash out. And so what he had to do instead was get as much money in the short term, a 2-year deal with an opt-out, 3-year, you know, 1-year deal with. So we're just already writing this check for $700 million. They're not going to start the bidding there. That is the ceiling. They're not going to start the bidding there. And then there will be hourglass. There will be some time where it starts to run out because he's the big fish. He's the first domino that has to fall. And how many years have we seen this? Like, they're not going to let Juan Soto hold up the entire market. Boras has other clients that he represents. Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman. And you just saw how they dubbed Boras with Gerrit Cole. Cashman was like, nah, get out of here with that, please. We knew you were going to opt out. We're not adding the 10th year. You're going to take what you have on the table. We know you don't want to go anywhere, Cole. We know that Boras is just doing what he does. And I saw Ken Rosenthal come out today and say, the Yankees don't want to offend Scott Boras. Scott Boras is not the baseball Bond villain anymore. He's not what he once was. The game has changed. 888-808-1019. We got to break it down. Thanks for calling. We got a bunch of calls. I want to fly through them. Also, when we get to like 9:30, I'm going to start to mix in the Daniel Jones conversation, Jaden Daniels conversation, Malik Nabers conversation, Devontae Adams and Mike Williams being traded, and Aaron Rodgers, and I don't know, cayenne pepper in your water. Have you tried that yet? You probably shouldn't do that. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. Score! The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Thirsty, trying to choose. I mean, I know I'm critical. My neti bag, my kitty boots.
Some chants.
I got the juice.
Adams on. I mean, dealing with Big Zoop, you never know what might come through those speakers. That's a good one. I was just listening to Drake where, I forget what song it was. Oh, you gotta love it. Oh, you gotta love it. He's like, and if I left this up to Chance, I would have picked a name like Chance the Rapper. But no offense, because I don't know him. I was like, yo, that was actually like, that could have started some beef back then. Shout out to Chance, though. Chance is laying low now. But respect to 10 Day. Acid Rap, Chance had a wave when he came up. I actually was in Chicago back then. Got to go to Vic Mensa Save Money concert.
Vic Mensa.
Yeah, forgot about Vic Mensa.
There you go.
That was an era. That was like, it was a mixtape era, but it was like, it was more of a digital mixtape era with those guys coming up.
Childish Gambino.
Mm-hmm. He was a little bit before them too.
Donald Glover, for those who don't know.
Mm-hmm. Gambino is a mastermind. You know the rest. If you know, you know. Maybe not. Keith McPherson on the Fan. All right, let's continue. We're going to start to talk football once we get into the 9:30 halfway point. I definitely want to plant some seeds about Daniel Jones. It's not all about Daniel Jones, but it's going to be really soon. Like, they're going to have to make a decision. And, I mean, here they're going to Germany, and they're facing a Panthers team who's coming off a big win. And Bryce Young, who's now regained that starting job, and he looked better. And I made a joke last night where I'm like, you can't go to Germany and lose to the Panthers. The Saints lost to the Panthers, and they fired Dennis Allen. Like, then it's going to start to get interesting. But, yeah, I also want to talk about the criticism of Malik Nabers, Nick McCloud being released, Darius Slayton and Azeez Ojulari not being traded, and, like, almost a deja vu of these Giants seasons. And, like, when will this end? We'll get there. Let me take this call from Philip in Jamaica, Queens first. What's up, Philip?
Hey, thanks for making my call. You're always great to talk to. And I just want to get a little Yankees point that I want to talk about Daniel Jones. The Yankees have nothing to be ashamed of. But I mean, I'm a Mets fan, but come on, Yankees.
I would be ashamed of that fifth inning. That was Little League. That was terrible. Yeah. That was bad. Yeah. That's forever. But you should be proud of some things. We're not going to let that fifth inning erase the entire year, but I won't say there's nothing. You know, I won't say they don't have anything to be ashamed of. No, that was shameful.
Yeah, no. Well, that's true, but I'm just saying they did win the American League.
They did. Yes, they did.
You can't take that away. The Mets didn't win anything. So, but I want to get to my Daniel Jones point.
Okay.
I'm a big Daniel Jones fan.
Why? Okay, but how? You went to Duke?
No, I didn't go to Duke. I just, when he came up, I thought he was a really good prospect. I like his running capability.
Okay, and Vanilla Vic. Yep. Vanilla Vic was back this weekend. He's going to keep running, and he's going to run himself into an injury.
Exactly. But here's the thing. He has scored points. I mean, like, against Washington, they scored 22. But at some point, you have to start saying to yourself, he's just not doing it. And my question is, at what point do you say that point now, or do you want to give him the season and see what he does for the season? And if you do replace him, who are you going to replace him with that will be comparable to Daniel Jones? Or would you just wait till the season and reassess the situation?
Thanks for the call, Philip. I'll answer all of those questions in about 45 minutes to a half hour. But we've got calls on the Mets, on the Yankees, on Juan Soto. That's what I opened up with. That's what I knew would be the topic that most people would call and react to. So let's go to Mitchell and Queens on the Fan. You got it, Mitch.
Hey, Keith. Good evening. Love the show as usual. You know, as a big Mets fan, as someone who grew up hating the Yankees, I'm watching the World Series this year, and I'm like, I can't hate on this team the way I did on the teams growing up. This is not a bought team. There's no A-Rod here. There's no... I couldn't stand George Steinbrenner as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 30 years old, so I remember those teams.
Cole was a hired gun, but Judge is homegrown and earned that money. And you know,
yeah, but outside Jazz Chisholm, it's just like there's no one on this team that like
Volpe
like,
and Wells. Those guys are young. You know, you can't hate on them.
So I just want to just add something about Juan Soto. You know, like. As a Mets fan, do I want to see the Mets get him? Yes, but I think like there's something to be said about being judicious about not giving someone that much term. I mean, the Yankees very much stood on ground and said to Gerrit Cole, "We're not giving you another year."
Mm-hmm.
And Juan Soto does not run the bases well. He does not field well. I understand he's a great hitter. He's a top five hitter in baseball. But if you're going to be a top five plate player in baseball, you don't have to do those other things well. And he's also been on great teams, and he's never been an influence. Those Padre team that went to the loss of the Phillies.
I mean, that World Series with the Nationals, he was a huge difference. He was box office, and he was a baby.
Without Strasburg throwing two of the best games I can remember. And
that was a team? They had a complete team. Yes, I get it.
I'm not taking away from him. I just, like, to me, there's a lot to be done, at least for
you can.
The Mets.
You can take and away from him. And I think all of us are. Thanks for the call, Mitchell. I think all of us are in an evaluation process right now. Where that's what I'm saying. Some of you were so ready to write a $700 million check. I'm like, it doesn't have to be $700 million. I think the bidding can get up that high, right? Like, with Yamamoto, we started to reduce him last year. I thought Yamamoto was going to be a $200 to $250 million pitcher in Major League Baseball. I kept saying he's never thrown a pitch. I used the example of Kodai Senga and his adjustment to the ball in the mound and needing extra days rest. And I'm like, how are you going to pay a guy $325 million that never... Well, when you sign Shohei Ohtani and he defers money and he tells you to sign his right-hand man and that guy comes through and helps you win a World Series, then yeah, you know, it was right for the Dodgers. But here we are with Juan Soto. I feel a couple ways. We can say that Juan Soto's defense is lacking and isn't what you want, but we can't say he's terrible. Like, he can throw the ball, and I think he can get better. I honestly think with reps, working with Judge, I jokingly said to someone online, have him work with Mookie Betts, because Joel Sherman wrote that article talking about how Mookie Betts drills you know, right field, the ball skipping off the wall, fielding it, throwing it into second base over and over. Soto's got to get so comfortable with that, you know, right field in Yankee Stadium if he signs with the Yankees, where he can improve his defense. But I also feel like he projects to be a DH, maybe a first baseman, left-handed. Like, you sign a guy like that because of the brand that he's already built, how young he is, the hitter he is, the fans that he has, and, like, the fact that you saw it this year, your year that you made it back to the World Series, he was a huge part of it. He had a 3-homer game. He won you some games. I watched Juan Soto this year, and I'm like, the guy will struggle one day. He'll show up to the ballpark the next day, be in the batting cage early. You can bet on it. He won me some money this year. Multi-home run games. Coming back, me knowing, okay, this guy didn't do anything against the White Sox. He's going to come back. He's going to tear it up. 3-homer game. Like, guys like that don't grow on trees. They don't come around that often. That's the guy that you spend on. Jarvis is up in Harlem. Jarvis, you're back on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? How are you doing?
All right. Kind of just watching this Islanders game, but it's not doing anything for me. Penguins are up 1-0.
Yeah. I want to talk about the Yankees and, you know, that other caller saying like that because, like, the Mets had a better season than the Yankees because they blew a because the Yankees blew a 5-0 lead at the game five.
There's a lot of goalposts moving because I remember all of the tough talk about be careful what you wish for. You don't want to see us in the Subway Series. Here we come. Like, I, you know, it's different now. November 5th.
Right. I mean, like we won the division. We won the number one seed, and the Mets. You lucky the Mets were
barely got in. It was last seed in.
Yeah. If they, because they had to play a doubleheader against the Braves, if the Mets would have got swept by the Braves, maybe the Mets will be in the playoffs. It would be the Diamondbacks.
Narrowly escaped the Braves. Narrowly escaped the Brewers. But forget all that, Jarvis. Thanks for the call, bro. Appreciate it. Forget all that. Like, I forget who it was. Was it SJ who called? One of the things he cited was Lindor's home runs. Yeah, Lindor breaking up that no-hitter in Toronto. That home run was great. Lindor hitting that home run in Truist Park was great. But, like, that's an individual thing. We're not talking about the team. Like, what did that win you? What did that clinch for you? Like, it didn't – like, I guess, you know, you winning that first one in Atlanta, it was euphoric. It was exciting. I know I was here for the watch party. I was cracking up. Like, you guys have reacted like you ain't ever had anything. I'm like, just winning that – coming back and winning that game – to get to the postseason, it made me realize, like, the Met fan is not used to going to the postseason, not as much as the Yankee fan. So, like, you feel like you had a better season because of the joy you had, because of how you were ready to quit on the team when Michael Tonkin was blowing games and Rhys Hoskins was owning you, how Jorge Lopez threw his glove out of the field of play into the stands. The Dodgers swept you then. And you felt like all was lost. Gary Cohen talking about this is rock bottom. No one's at the ball. To come from those depths to make it to game six of the NLCS, I understand. Right? Like, I get it. But you cannot put that next to the Yankees winning their division, getting the one seed, and going to the World Series and obviously collapsing there. It's just like, that's very participation trophy-ish. What are the measuring sticks? My guy, Jonathan, out in Los Angeles. Before we go to break, talk to us, bro.
Yo, what's good, Keith? First things first, bro. My bad. My Falcons have to beat your Cowboys.
First off, I froze my account with Jerry Jones. I don't go over there anymore. I don't wear any of that anymore. That does not concern me. Congratulations to you, though. You like that? I know you like that.
Hey, bro. But you're always welcome to rise up, bro, whenever you want, bro. I know you got that big jersey, so, you know.
I've been down there. I've been to one game in Atlanta, and I love going to that game in Atlanta. It was cost-effective. It was a party. They were turned up. I would definitely go back to Atlanta and see another game.
That's what's up, bro. That's what's up. Hopefully we go a long way. Bro, regarding our Yankees, man, it was a really hard week last week. Emotions, I couldn't sleep, but I mean, we caught the L. It is what it is. We did our mistakes at the field, but it's crazy, Keith, how people just don't keep their here in LA, just don't keep the Yankees out of their mouth. Bro, they mention the Yankees more than their own parade, bro. They celebrated The fact that they bring up the Yankees this, Yankee that, Yankee suck, bro. Quick little story. I got my son right here, too.
What's up, Pete?
What's up, Bash?
Yeah, bro, this is going to be funny really quick. Look, last week it was Halloween. We were walking. It was the day after we lost the World Series. We lost. Some kids in the corner, 6-7-year-old, kept screaming, Yankees suck, Yankees suck. Mm-hmm. Bro, my son, I just put my head down. My son, I thought he was going to say nothing. My son gave his basket to his mom. He looked at those kids. Keep in mind, it's like 6-7 kids. He said, Dodgers suck. Dodgers suck. Bro, come on. We got to leave, man. Don't be getting into problems right here. But I talked to him at the house, and I'm like, you're a real one, man. You know, and I'm really proud that my little son is a diehard Yankees fan.
Yeah.
To say that.
You raised him that way. Keep him that way. We'll have our time. Jonathan, you're the man. I mean, shout out to Jonathan out in L.A. He came out here for the postseason. I got to meet him and his son in the bleachers. You probably heard his calls. They're literally fighting the battle out there in L.A. where they're chanting Yankees suck and F the Yankees. And, yeah, I saw a whole costume of, it was ridiculous. I don't have enough time to talk about it. But, sure, to the victor go the spoils. When you win, you can talk. And they're going to talk more about F the Yankees than Freddie Freeman, which is insane. But, good, we'll come back. We'll have our time. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back. 2 hours down. 3 hours to go. A 5-hour KM to AM on the Fan in New York. Hit it, Zoo.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.